shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and a very pleasant good evening to you. And be sure to join us at philhenryshow.com. If you haven't yet, get a backstage pass, watch our live streaming video of the show. We're in our loft this evening, and behind me is a steady stream of slides and interesting shots of me in different incarnations of the show, and we just sort of glorify and we celebrate me.
Yeah, you know, you say that as if you're kidding, but you're not really kidding.
Is that right? I'm not really kidding.
Well, somebody had, and may I?
Go ahead.
Someone had called, by the way, I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah, this is Margaret Gray and Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. Like I was saying to you guys, it seems like we never leave the studio. Weren't we just talking?
Yes, we were just talking. Before the show started, we were having coffee. So that...
What a chop.
Well, that's a heavy chop, man. Go ahead, Margaret.
Well, now, what was I going to say?
You were going to say that, oh, yeah, my ego.
No, it wasn't your ego, but a man had written or had called and had said, why are all these pictures of Phil Hendry on the website? What is with all of these pictures? And I have to be honest with you, Phil, I agreed with him to a degree because I felt there was something that was rather smarmy, and almost a sort of smarmy arrogance.
What do you mean smarmy?
Could you speak into the microphone, please?
Yeah. What do you mean smarmy?
Don't speak that close. I just got your breath.
Well, you asked him to speak into the microphone.
I didn't ask him to come up and go, God.
Sorry, I mean, you know.
Yeah, chicken cacciatore, I had some, too. It was very good.
Your aunt made chicken cacciatore?
Yeah.
Why wasn't I informed of this?
Dude called you up and said you want to come get some.
Can we continue with what it was I wanted to say?
Yeah, but you were talking about chicken...
No, I was talking about his breath.
Oh, okay. Well, that's because he had chicken cacciatore and I wanted to...
Phil, I don't care. I don't think the audience cares. I'm increasingly bemused by the fact that I'm trying to say something and you want to talk about chicken cacciatore. If you ever want really good chicken cacciatore... You knock on my door.
Where, here?
No, at my... I don't want him walking up to the door.
All right, okay, So in other words, the guy... I remember when the guy called or he commented, right? On the comment section?
Yes, and he said, what is with all these pictures?
All right, and I said, what's the show about? It's about me, isn't it? So why wouldn't there be a lot of pictures of me? You know.
Yeah, but why don't you have pictures of the news stories of the day?
Yes, like, for instance, there's a picture of President Obama. He's striding across the grass there at the White House. Very handsome man, very purposeful stride. Why not have a beautiful picture of the striding president?
Because that's not what the show's about. This is not a news talk show, so we have pictures of me, and they're weird. I wouldn't say that they're all very flattering. You know, it's really interesting, that guy that, you know, had made that comment, he's saying, you know, all these pictures of Phil. Well, I mean, look at half of them. I look like some kind of a gargoyle, man. I mean, they're weird. There's pictures that are blown up, like far too large. There's one of me fat. You know, I got all these fat pictures of me. I don't shy away from those pictures, you know. A lot of guys that do that shy away from, I don't want to see any pictures of me when I was 300 pounds. All right, I want the skinny me. Just put the skinny. I don't, you know, that's not life, you know. I got on one of the fan pages. We ought to, in fact, I'm going to put it on the homepage very shortly. We'll do a...
do a like an evolution.
Yes, from when you were skinny to when you got fat, and then the fat down back down to what you are now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can find some pictures of myself.
Yeah, you're going to have to go back a lot of years to find them before the fat. BF, you know.
BF, I like that.
BF.
Yeah, be like, here's a picture from 20 BF. Before fat.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
It's a bad idea. I mean, well, maybe. I don't know.
You gotta learn to laugh at yourself, Mr. Hendry, and have fun with life, you know? Just hail well fellow met. And slap yourself and pat, well, not paddle, but...
I get the idea, bud. Thank you. BF.
Well, we do need to have some sort of a delineation, if you're going to do that.
Oh, we do, do we? all of a sudden, everybody's weighing in on this idea of me having pictures of myself when I was skinny. And let me tell you something. The last time I was skinny, I had to have been 25 years old. So let's just get the word skinny out of the equation, because I got a couple of pictures of myself. In fact, they're in the Henry family album that we have posted over on Facebook. I want to get that off of there and get it over here onto our website, which is where it was. And then we changed a bunch of stuff, and then I lost it. Now it's out there in the internet world, and now people are using it, and they're wiping their rear ends with it. Thank you very much. Now, so I'll have pictures of myself.
Yeah, like you, if when you were a kid, you're 25?
Yes, I was 20. What do you mean?
When you were skinny.
Yeah, when you were skinny, you were 25.
Yes.
All right. Now, when did you start to lose the weight? When you got fat, we all know that. We all saw what happened. I mean, we are all witnesses to what happened to you. All right? We all had to sit and watch, and we witnessed something that we'll never forget.
And, all right, Robert, okay? Don't talk about it like it's the Fukushima going off, okay? Just, you know, I got fat.
All right. So now you go from the time you was 25, and then you got fat. How many years? How many years until you got, like, 300 pounds?
Well, I was 25 years old in 1977. I hit 300 pounds in the summer of 2011. Is that right? Yes. And, yeah. God, I don't remember, man. 2010. So that was 33 years, okay?
Right. So you were skinny at 33 BF.
Yeah, just like they'd say 32 BC.
Will you guys knock it off with the 33 BF?
Well, it just means before fat.
I know what it means. It doesn't have any meaning. What are you going to do with it? What do you know? I can't use that. I can't handle that. I can't fondle that. I can't play with that. I can't juggle it. You know,
you might be able to stroke it.
I might be able to stroke it. In any event, so we'll do that. We'll put pictures up there. There's a skinny one of Phil now as he progresses. I got one of me golfing in Miami. Oh, baby, it's a real sad shot. Yeah, it's a sad. I was still tucking my shirts in. So in other words, the fat had begun. The gargantua, as what I called the inexorable gargantuing of Phil, began. And there I was in Miami for one of our charity golf tournaments, and I was wearing a pair of shorts and I had on a golf shirt. And everything was tucked in. That was mistake number one.
Because why?
Because his gut hung over the belt and everything.
Hey, bud, you know, I didn't hear you. Could you say that louder?
Well, yeah, man, I'd give you a little loud.
Well, she wanted to know.
Who's she? Are you talking about me?
Yes, ma'am.
Then you can say Margaret wanted to know.
That's respectful, bud.
All right. But your gut hung out.
I know. So I got this picture of myself in Miami with the gut hanging out. I'm like, oh, God, that's a freaking weird, that's a bad picture, man. And then, you know, that was our first tournament. Then we had a second tournament in August of, hold on for a minute. Hold on for just a moment, okay? No, but then we had a second tournament. Tell you what, let's take a break, and we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
One of the things that I haven't updated you guys on is this whole I poke smart thing. I found out who he is. We have his name. We have his name. We know where he lives. He's very angry. He's very upset. He has targeted my home not once but twice now, as recently as just a few minutes ago. He is harassing this home, and I know what his name is. And the only thing that keeps me from putting it out on the air right now is pity, is mercy, because I've got so many people that like me. So many people that enjoy this show, and so many people that want to look out for me. I'm afraid for his safety. I'm afraid for his safety. Now, the only thing that I've done wrong is do a radio show. But this dirty, filthy, stinking little thief who is employed by the Alabama Air Guard. Now, I don't know what you guys do in the Air Guard, the Air National Guard, or whatever. You got a guy working for you a subcontractor of some kind who has conducted a campaign of harassment against me, my home, which is what got this guy on my death list to begin with. It took me exactly 1 month, maybe a month and a half, to find the guy. After he targeted my home, I found him. Because he's a psychopath, which means he can't lose, he's decided to continue the harassment. Even though I know his name, I know where he lives, I know the toilet bowl dump that he lives in Scottsdale, Arizona. I know the address. You got some pair on you, man. You know, I don't know what you think you're going to do. This guy's pushing 40 and he lives like a bum. Why am I saying this on the air? Because this is what I'm having to live with, so I might as well just go public with it. Now, I know the guy's name. I could go public with his name right now. What's going to happen to me? You think I'm going to get sued? You think this punk would sue me? This guy's conducted nothing more than a continuous campaign of harassment against me, my radio show, for the last 5-6 years. He's a thief. He is a criminal. He's violated the copyright of my material, trademark, you name it. And why is this? I think the guy's got some latent homosexual tendencies, to be perfectly honest with you, that he doesn't. He's like Dan White. He's like the guy that killed Harvey Milk. He's got this violent, tendency that he's burying his attraction to me in some sort of hostility. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'd love to be able to figure it out. I'm not a psychiatrist. But that's what's going on here. You know? Now, I blew his ass off of Twitter. Basically, I outed iPokeSmot. That was the name he was using. And I basically, and because he's got an ego on him, and because he's really angry at the fact that I got his account blown up over at Twitter, because I know who he is, I know every little account that he uses at Twitter, and basically got most of those shut down, and everybody is now, everyone's alerted to who this guy is. A lot of people already know your name anyway, man. And that's the way you want it, because if you're watching, and you are, the guy's a subscriber of mine, the guy gives me his money. Now, he's upset because he's a loser. This guy has some college degree in something that is not even a part of the radio field, but he wants to be on the radio. He thinks that he can be on the radio. He couldn't be on the radio. The closest this guy comes to a radio is maybe knowing how to turn one on and off. And he's angry because he was taking material that I own and he was streaming it illegally and I told him to stop. And for a sack of garbage like this, and these guys are sociopathic, they just want to do what they want to do. You don't tell them what to do. Well, you don't. He controls his world and he steals and he lies and he cheats and he harasses and he targets family members and he targets strangers. And I've got his picture. He's the ugliest son of a bitch you've ever seen in your life. You got a lot of, I tell you what, I poke smart. You got some real gall, man. Talking about my looks. Jesus, you are the ugliest bastard. The guy hates women. And he believes that he is going to somehow back me off. All you're going to do, man, is if you find me in the wrong mood, you're going to take a beating from me personally that you'll never forget. That's if you're stupid enough to come anywhere near me yourself. I'm going to have you thrown in a jail cell, man. I'm going to make you famous. Now, I told you I'd find out who you are, and I did. Do you think I'm kidding when I say I'm going to put you in jail? You think that's a joke? What's your mom and dad in Utah going to think? What's your family going to think? What are all these big shots that you say you know with the military? They're going to say, well, this guy's nothing more than some kind of a troll, some sort of a slimy punk who's been passing himself off as something else. I'm sorry to have to bring this out, folks, but I have been harassed in my home during my radio show by this individual, and I have to protect myself because it's damn sure anybody else going to do it. He scared the hell out of my daughter, and that I will never forgive. And that's what got him in the crosshairs, okay? That's what's going to get him put in jail. But I say it again to you, man. You want to avoid jail, you're going to have to meet me face to face. You haven't got the balls for that. I got news for I know that. However, I'm going to give you a chance to get a little manhood going. If you want to avoid a jail cell, you and I meet face to face. and you're going to keep your mouth shut, and I'm going to tell you how life is going to proceed. That's the only way this thing's going to work. Because, frankly, I told my attorney today, I want to meet you. I want to see you. I want to sit down across the table from you. And they're going to have to get some people between us because it'll take. And if you think, man, for 5 seconds that I won't jump across that table if you give me the wrong look and just go ahead and tear your head off, think again, man. You know, you are going to long regret the day that you're such a loser and you can't do anything with your life that you've decided to go out and make yourself public by being a pain in the ass little kid. You don't think I'll say your name in the air? I'll say your last name, say your first. I will out you. The only thing the only reason I don't do that is I don't want you to get killed. And I don't want anybody that is a fan of this radio show doing anything other than nothing. I'll do it. I'll deal with it. I don't want anybody doing anything. I'll deal with this guy. And we're going to do it legal. And when we're done with this guy, he's going to be in a cage. And then the only games you'll be able to play will be how to, you know, get yourself a pack of cigarettes, how to avoid being raped that day. I don't know what. You can play all kinds of games in jail. You can play all kinds of head games. It's outrageous. And I know you get a cheap kick out of this, but you don't understand what you're doing, man. While you're laughing, one thing about psychopaths, you guys don't plan for the future very well, and you do not know how to handle failure. And you're failing, man. You're failing in that I know who you are now. You're failing in that I know where your address is. You think that you or somehow can mess with me, and you're going to come out of this okay. You're going to get your ass beat. You're going to be in a wheelchair. I'm saying it right here. You hear that? You think I'm afraid of getting arrested? I could care less. I don't care. You come anywhere near my family again, I swear to Christ, you will be in a wheelchair. And you think I'm worried about cops? I don't care. I've been in jail. I'd gladly go back to jail for a piece of you, man. And I get a hold of you, and you won't be walking for months. And they'll long remember you, man, because I will definitely change things about the way your face looks, too. And as far as me getting arrested and thrown in a hole, I don't care. Doesn't bother me at all. You, it bothers you. You're worried about that. Because I know all about you. You are a gutless little psychopath who has to control everything around you. And if I sound angry, folks, I apologize. This has been occurring over and over again. This guy is amazing. He's got some obsession with me. Apparently, I didn't hire him once. Well, of course I didn't hire him. He's got no talent for anything. He's a thief. He's been violating our copyright, so we've had him shut down. That was it. I didn't care who he was, but it pissed him off. And so he started to harass me over on Twitter, started to harass me on Facebook, started making contact with me in my home, started talking to ex-girlfriends of mine. This guy's been in touch with every chick I've ever dated. Not that, you know, I mean, they can handle themselves, but the guy is really weird, man. I mean, I'm telling you, it is homoerotic. There's something that is bent about this guy. And he thinks it somehow scares me. All it does is piss me off. And because he has that kind of ego, he feels that even though he got already, now I know his name, and now I can locate him, he thinks somehow that's just an aberration, that he's going to win in the end. No, what's going to happen now is going to get worse. But you'll learn. Maybe we'll call your mom and dad. Maybe we'll have them intercede. Maybe we'll ask them. We'll say, you know, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, you know, your son is doing this, this, and this. He needs to stop. He's going to go to jail. Does your father or mother have any influence with you? Probably not. We could try that. Maybe your employers. You're failing downward, man. It was the U.S. Air Force. Now it's the Alabama Air Guard. No offense against the Alabama Air Guard, dude, but Air Force to that, you know, that's a step down. Maybe we'll talk to them. Maybe we'll talk to the people that you know, the people that employ you. Maybe I'll talk to you myself. I would love that. I would love that. You name the place and the time, you punk. And I swear to God, man, you better come ready for a beating. I mean it. You'll feel better.
Henry.
Well, I don't like it at all.
I'm telling you, Margaret.
Yeah.
It's out of my system, okay?
You made some statements there that were violent. It frightened me, Phil, very much. I don't like this side of you.
All right, I'm sorry. Can we move on?
Yeah, let's get into the comedy and everything. I'm sorry. Let's get...
You belching man?
Well, you were belching.
Sorry, yeah, I had a... All right, what's our first story? No, I don't want to... This is a terrible story, but a Toronto police officer... You know, I said this before the show, and just before we went on the air, I saw this story about this poor officer in Toronto, Canada, the Toronto Police Service. The first fellow officer to find Sergeant Ryan Russell dying on a snowy street after he was mowed down by a snowplow told him to hold on as she cradled him and felt his fleeting last breaths. There was blood everywhere, and she couldn't find a pulse. She was one of several witnesses who testified at the trial of Richard Catchcar, who's pled not guilty to charges of first-degree murder and dangerous driving in the death of the 35-year-old Toronto police officer. Witnesses said Russell tried in vain to stop the plow, backing away and firing shots at it in the seconds before it crashed into him. The impact knocked Russell over and spun his body toward the center of the plow, and its blade struck him in the head, fracturing his skull. Oh, God. Witnesses called 911, and Andrews and her partner arrived first, racing over to a man lying face down on the ground. I dropped to the ground. I tried to roll the body over. I ended up rolling him on top of me, and it was at that time I realized it was a police officer. There was blood everywhere. I put my right hand underneath his head. I could feel a hole in the back of his head. There was a lot of blood pouring into my hand. He wasn't conscious, but Andrews put her cheek just above his face so she could feel a slight warm air. What happened here, folks, is that they're making a claim that this man was hit and then left to die. Now, in this trial, this guy, this Richard Catchcar, there's already been testimony that he stole the plow at a Tim Hortons restaurant, which is a famous chain restaurant in the Toronto area, when two landscapers stopped for coffee around 5 a.m. on January the 12th, 2011, then drove around Toronto for 2 hours, hitting several cars and shouting about the Taliban, Chinese technology, and a microchip in his body. So, what do we got here, a psychotic? The judge has told the jury that there will be no dispute that Catchcar was the person driving the plow. Rather, the case will center around his mental state. The Crown alleges that he meant to kill this police officer. The police officer responded to calls about the errant snowplow, and when he caught up to it, the vehicle did a U-turn and came toward his cruiser. He reversed several meters and then got out of the car. The plow didn't swerve, it didn't brake, as it accelerated toward the officer Russell, who was then backing away and firing shots at the plow's windshield. How big is a snowplow that you... I guess they move pretty fast. Because you figure a young man, a 35-year-old guy, a police officer's got some athleticism, and obviously he does, is going to be able to find a way to get away from it unless he's cornered and this thing is moving at a rapid rate of speed. All six lanes of Avenue Road were otherwise wide open, the witnesses testified, but the plow drove directly at the officer, then continued on without slowing down. At that moment, the plow is bearing down on the officer, and I'm just holding my breath and hoping that this officer can get out of the way, said Vance Cooper, who was driving by at the moment. He's driving straight, no steering, no braking, no apparent effort to change course. There was an electrician on his way to work that morning. He testified he saw the plow hit this man, Russell. This officer, I saw half of his body almost. It was struggling on the ground and looked like the plow was dragging him about 15 feet. He was shaking, and all of a sudden, it stopped. Tow truck driver under cross-examination said that he thought that if the initial impact had spun Russell's body away from the plow instead of closer to its center, he would have survived. Man. So this is some guy. There was a guy that stole a tank. And he was in this tank, and he was driving up the 5 freeway down here near San Diego. It was near Camp Pendleton, I think. Or it was on a frontage road. This guy was in a tank, and he was driving over people, or he was driving over cars. I don't know if he hurt anybody, but it was a number of years ago. And you're figuring, okay, now here's a guy, he's out of his mind, he's got something, a few screws are loose, there's no question, and that's bad enough. Now the guy has the screws loose, and on top of that, guess what? This cat has a tank. Or a snowplow. You know, I've seen snowplows in the Midwest when I lived in, and I'm saying this to a lot of people that know what a snowplow is. There's a lot of people that don't. There's people living in a warm weather climate. So the snowplows are, you see them all the time when you live in snow. You see them salting the roads. You see all kinds of stuff that goes on, man. If you live in snow, and I again, there's people that don't, and they don't exactly know. I mean, there's all kinds of jazz. They're salting the road. By the end of the snow season, man, the bottom of your car's rotted out. And then the snowplows. And when I was in Atlanta in 1993 and they had snow, they didn't have any plows. They had to send out for snowplows. They had to go to other cities and find plows because they hadn't had snow like that in 30 years. So here comes this snowplow, and it hits this cop. It's just it's an ugly story, you know.
What were you? You were reading about Ed Gein last night. Why was that?
I was reading about Ed Gein last night.
Yes, you had out all of these books.
You got a manuscript about Ed Gein and looking at heads and everything?
Wait a minute.
There you were.
Well, I was looking at the Ed Gein stories because there was something that had happened. I think we were watching ID, right?
Well, every time we get off the air, ladies and gentlemen, Phil will watch Investigation Discovery. What's the name of the show?
Called New Detective.
New Detectives, yeah.
And why do you like that?
Because it's about forensics. It's interesting. It relaxes me. Don't ask me why. You know.
Relaxes you, man. You know, sit and look at cops and everything? And going through DNA and stuff like that?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Well, how did they find Ed Gein?
How did they find Ed Gein? They went over and they arrested him. That's how they found him.
Yeah, but how did they know it was Gein? And what was that poem that was written by Rudyard Kipling where he goes, it was Gein, Gein, Gein.
You shut up. That was Gunga Din, not Gein.
Oh, he didn't say it was Gein, Gein, Gein.
No, he said it was Din, 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 Gunga Din. The famous Rudyard Kipling poem. It was Gein, Gein, Gein. I don't know. They found out about Ed Gein. What do you want to ask me about Ed Gein for? I don't understand that.
Well, there was something. It might have been the Alfred Hitchcock. Were you watching the There's something that happened last night that had you enamored all of a sudden of gutted people hanging upside down. What was it?
That, Margaret, that's absolute. That's a complete and utter ridiculous, asinine statement of what happened. Last night we were watching some on TV, and I started to look something up, and I got sidetracked into that whole Gein story. I think I'll tell you one of the things I wanted to find out about him was whether he was just like this guy is crazy, whether Gein was tried as a nut, and he was, I think.
No, he wasn't. This is where Ed Gein was tried as a sane man in 1968.
I try to keep telling you that, but you never want to hear about it.
No, you don't.
Well, somebody did, because I remember you said, hey, how come Ed Gein is not being tried as a mental case? And they said, yes, he was.
In 1958, when they put Ed Gein on trial, I believe that he was tried as a mental case. And then I believe there was a second trial because there were two people he was charged with killing. That's all, folks. Ed Gein, the psycho, the guy that started the whole... What are you laughing at, bud?
You said, that's all, folks, by Porky Pig.
Pork la Pig?
That's what he... It's Porky.
What? Who's the guy that invented the radio?
Edward Tesla?
He was Porkla?
No, it's not Porkla.
All day long, I try to tell him that. I said, it's not Porkla, Edward Porkla. He goes, hey, look at that Porkla, like Porkla Pig.
You got to be something. There's something wrong with you, man.
Something wrong with me? You're the guy who's all yelling, screaming about how you're going to kick a guy's ass and everything.
I got reasons to say that. What are you sitting there with Porkla Pig and Edward Porkla, man? So we got sidetracked again because I did what?
You said that's all, folks, and he thought of Porky Pig.
Okay, great. Good. Hey, nice one, bud, okay?
But it's Porkla.
No, it is not. In any event, so then they retried Ed Gein, or not retried him, but they tried him for the second murder in 1968 as a sane man, and he was convicted. But here's the thing that I love. He was convicted, he was tried as a sane man, convicted, and then he was put in the nut wagon. He was put back in the nut house.
Well, why is that unusual?
If you try the guy as a sane guy, if you're saying that he's not... I don't know. Doesn't that sound...
Well, there's a different standard, legal standard of insanity.
Yes, the legal standard for insanity is broader, I think. They'll say, well, if you know right from wrong. But in reality, the person may be crazy.
Well, there's something wrong with a system that says legally he's sane, but in reality he's nuts. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it does. That's the way the system works. Okay?
Oh, okay. And this is the guy that says it's pork la pig, is that right?
Until I get verification.
You know, you with the verification, same thing with Margaret last night. You know,
don't drag me into the middle of that, Phil. Last night, all I wanted was verification on a news story, whether or not...
Yeah, folks, if you weren't listening last night, Margaret was hanging around. She wanted to get that one last bit of verification that New York was still standing and hadn't been blown up by the North Koreans.
Well, don't say it like I'm some sort of mental case by the North Korean. You know, you go up on the microphone, Phil, and you try to emphasize... And you make me look like an ass.
Oh, you got to whisper again. Here we go.
That's right.
That whispering, it's going to drive me nuts.
That's because it reminds you of your mother. You've got a real problem. And there's a mother thing going on.
Yeah, but, well, that's right. There is a mother thing going on. But when you whisper, it reminds me of my mom.
Okay, Ed.
Yeah.
What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, Mr. Gene.
Yeah, Mr. Gene.
Yeah, okay, Ed.
What is that supposed to mean?
Mother issues.
Do you believe that my mother issues are so profound that I want to go out and start shooting people and hanging them upside down?
Well, if you try that with me, you'll be the one hanging upside down.
Yeah, if Ed Gein tried it with Margaret, Ed Gein would be upside down with a sprig in his rear end.
Yeah.
A sprig?
Yeah, didn't they use garnish?
Did he use garnish? You guys, man, I'm telling you, it won't be long now. You talk about the booby hatch? I'm going to put both of you guys in it.
What? There wasn't any garnishing.
What do you mean garnishing?
Then we were reading that there was some kind of parsley.
Of the bodies that they found in Ed Gein's barn, parsley?
Well, that might have been the other guy, the cannibal guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There was another cannibal.
I don't even think Ed Gein was a cannibal.
Yes, he was. He had a variety of recipes. He was trying, and here's the tragedy of it, he was trying a new flambé. And the tragedy is, obviously, he'd murdered people, but... What?
That's not a tragedy.
I'm telling you, by God, it is a tragedy if there's a new flambé recipe.
No, it's not a tragedy if the guy that invented the new flambé recipe has just killed two people, and he's hung them upside down in a barn, and he's got a couple of heads in the icebox, and he's got leather masks and whatever the hell, you know...
No, not leather masks.
Whatever. That's the overriding concern, not whether or not this dude's flambé recipe got lost, is all I'm trying to say.
You are very condescending. Flambé recipe gets lost. It's very condescending, Phil. Very off-putting, not very attractive. And you know you're a very handsome man. You're a very alluring man. You're a man...
All right, Mark, I don't want to hear it, okay?
Yeah, it's getting me a little nauseous, if you don't mind.
You know what makes me nauseous?
Hey!
Kick his ass.
All right. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
You're laughing the way you did last night when the guy got cut in half by the shark and you fed the rest of him?
Yes, I'm sorry. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Ed Gein had a flambé recipe. Ed Gein had a flambé. Ow!
The difference is, welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show. The difference is when a private citizen assaults, attacks, or harasses, all bets are off. See? Now you have become an individual. You have made the decision to place yourself front and center. When you come at someone who has a public forum like I do, and you harass that man in his home, and you are dumb enough to do it when the guy knows your name, then you are no longer protected by anything other than, you know, if you got enough money to hire a lawyer, because harassing somebody in their home, stealing their living by infringing. That's what copyright infringement is. I don't give a damn if people are don't understand it and think it's unfair. I don't care if I'm talking to 17 and 18-year-old boys who don't understand what it is to actually have ownership of a company and material, and they think it's like some groovy new world, man, where everybody owns everything. Yeah, it sounds great, except in practice, if I just decided to come waltzing into your house and say, well, okay, I'm sort of down with that, so I'll take this, 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 and this. I'll just take all your stuff. And, you know, I was talking to David Vincent with Morbid Angel. He's a musician. And we were discussing when Metallica went after Napster, and he was saying to me the same thing that I've been saying. It's incredible to me that we're not allowed to make a living, that we're supposed to just give it away, and we give it away and to people that demand this stuff for free, and they demand protection for themselves, like this sack of crap, like this punk face in Scottsdale, Arizona, this buck tooth. This dude has, I think, assets, because I've seen this cheesy two-bit fly-by-night looking gun sporting accessory thing that he's got, which I'm going to own, and I'll probably just sell it off, you know, try and make a couple of dollars on it. I bet you it's not worth anything. But I'll take it. I'll take anything you got, man. I will take it from you. See? And I'll do it legally. Although I would like to do it illegally. I would. That's where you push me to. I would love to just kick the door down to your house, man, and if you had a woman in your life, which you don't, but if you had a woman in your life, I would kick the door down, I would have her make me breakfast, okay, and then I'd just steal everything in your place.
I can't believe you just said, that is the most sexist thing.
Margaret, I'm saying it to piss him off. I wouldn't really do it.
Well, then you just told him that you wouldn't really do it.
I'm not going to really do it, because this guy, I think the closest he's ever come to a female is maybe a female fly that got into his house one night. Easy. I swear to God, John, you know, most of us, if we're dead, we can at least attract a female fly. I don't think you'd even do that. I think you'd want to attract male flies. All right, we're all done with that.
Well, that's what you said the last time. You sure you're done with it?
I'm done with it, yes. I'm done with it, okay? And I don't want to read any more stories about these poor police officers. The stuff was just absolutely horrific. Terrible, terrible stuff. All right, we're online at philhenryshow.com, as you know. And if you get a backstage pass, you can watch the live streaming video of our show as it is happening right now. It is a, you know, it's a beautiful thing. So get a backstage pass, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And you'll have access to over 5,000 hours of material online. PhilHenryShow.com. Now, what is this? Harry Reid in the United States Senate. He has been wrong twice on, quote, $2.6 trillion cuts in a This Week interview. Are they making a big deal about this?
Yeah, see, this is what, and here we go with fact check. Oh, fact check. If fact check agrees, I hate fact check. You know why? Because people use it for their own purposes.
Right. Well, that's, you know, what do you think they're going to do?
And then they turn around and they say there's something wrong with it. If it doesn't, hold on. I'm sorry, Phil. I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, you know, you didn't give us a chance to eat. We had to go and have a Coke.
You know, where's that Szechuan chicken I bought?
Not my. Why is that up to me? You belched on the air. You've been doing that ever since you started working here.
Because of the Szechuan chicken. I'm trying desperately to get you to understand this.
What is it about Szechuan chicken that causes you to belch?
The spices that become then imbued. There's a marination that takes place in the digestive tract. Now, it's very good for you because the spices do enhance some of the macro... Okay, macrobiology.
Yeah.
Don't go, yeah, and throw your hands up, Phil. I'm explaining something.
All right.
I give up.
Oh, you give up. What was I saying? Go ahead, explain it.
No.
You got to go to the bathroom.
That's right.
Oh, okay, bud. What are you, the keeper of the bathroom key now?
You're asking too many questions. She's getting nervous.
I've got a nervous stomach, and it causes nervous bowel.
So, she's eating Chinese food, she gets the...
Oh, look, I'll explain it. She gets the Chinese food, and get Carl Chedelia. Do we get
spit it out, will you, Porky?
Oh, is that Porkla or Porky?
That's a good question.
Porkla.
Okay, well, I don't recognize that. My name is Porky, man, so I don't just keep right on talking.
Okay, Porky, spit it out.
You're going to get Chef Carl Chedelia or not?
I'm going to get Chef Carl Chedelia. I don't know what you said.
Look, bud, knock it off.
Yes, sir.
Chef Carl Chedelia next on whether or not spicy chicken dishes like Szechuan chicken creates a perfect storm in your gut for belching. Why are we talking about this? I don't know, other than the fact that Margaret can't seem to hold these belches back, and I got to get in chefs, scientists, cops, I got to bring in doctors, coroners, I got to have people testify to things until, you know, so she can be convinced to not eat Chinese food before we go on the air. Unreal. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.